Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift here on the Here Be Monsters Network. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and today we have a special guest, Kurt Hadid, who is a divine chocolate maker. Hi, Kurt. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you there?
Hi, Nicole.
Great.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Yep, I'm here.
Cool. My co-host, Gwen, is a little missing in action, but we'll see if she jumps into the conversation. But in the meantime, let's hear about, well, first of all, Kurt has a website called thespiritofcacao.com, and I met him at a psychic fair in New Hampshire, Manchester, New Hampshire, and tasted his chocolates, and I was hooked. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your creations, and then you can tell us about how you got into doing it.
All right. So I started making chocolate about a year ago in April. I actually took a trip to Costa Rica, and I did a work exchange program. I got to go to a meditation and yoga retreat / commune. And I got to stay there for free in exchange for the work program. But it was funny because they threw me into a raw cacao and superfood smoothie cafe. And I learned to make chocolates while I was there and working.
Wow, it's like divine guidance. They're like, and you'll go this way.
Yeah, it was really sort of a cooperating incident because I was making banana bread ice cream sandwiches dipped in chocolate before I started making actual superfood chocolates.
Yum.
So when I got there and they threw me into that, I was like, ooh, I went 5,000 miles, more than that or something, and I'm sort of playing with the same materials.
Interesting. So they taught you to make chocolates from the raw cacao beans, like the whole process?
Yeah, I had a teacher. Her name was Dharma, and she was the manager of their cafe. It was actually called Wild Treats. And she would start with just like a cocoa butter melted down and in like liquid form, and she would have the cocoa powder or the cacao powder, and she just straight add that to her cocoa butter and make her own blend with a little bit of vanilla, sometimes some cayenne pepper. It's supposed to like open up the capillaries, and every chocolate that she made was really good, and she was a wonderful teacher, and I had an amazing time the whole time I was there. I was there for a little over 7 weeks.
Wow, that is intensive training. Cool. So is that what got you to, you were like, wow, I really love making chocolate, like it's calling to me, and so this is what I want to do? How did that go down?
I had this dream or like vision or idea when I was younger. I think I was about 15, and I was over at my friend's house, and we were doing band practice, and it was during like a little intermission period, and we stopped to eat some food and stuff, and his mom actually made some banana bread, and he had ice cream sandwiches in his freezer. So I took two thin slices of banana bread, and I put them together on the ice cream sandwich, and I ate that, and I was just like hit. I was like, this is an amazing idea. Someone should make this. If this was in a store, I would buy it. I mean that change with the chocolates, but it I was following that passion when I went to that retreat, and while I was there, I only ate like vegetarian cuisine, and I didn't have any meat. They only had eggs in the morning for breakfast. The rest of the time, I was eating salad and vegetables and fresh fruits. And like with the yoga and meditation, I really felt cleansed and like a whole lot better. Like I had more energy. I could hold conversations better. I was just like really coming into myself as a person, I think.
Wow.
And like being there and eating all that and making the raw cacao. And I actually had a cacao ceremony while I was there too, which was pretty powerful.
Wow. And Gwen's here with us, by the way. Hi, Gwen.
Oh, hi, Gwen.
Hi, welcome. I'm sorry I'm late.
All right. So, yeah, what was the ceremony about?
The ceremony, it was a breath work. Yeah, it had to do with breath work, like clarity of breath work. And they taught us how to breathe, circle breathe, which is this exercise you can do. You'll actually make yourself hyperventilate, and you can actually have out of body experiences with it.
Yeah, I know that one. When I was learning about doing past life regressions, it's probably the same thing. It's like a real deep breathe in. I don't know if it's the same, but anyway, go on.
Yep, and it is a really deep breathe in, and you just keep doing it. You never stop. You just keep going for as long as you can. You'll actually, you might pass out. You might just like lose consciousness a little bit. But while I was there, they had teachers and guides to help you through the process. And there's a thing called tetany, actually, where if you get too much oxygen into your muscles, which will happen if you're doing this, your all of your muscles will just tense up, and you won't be able to move your body at all.
Wow.
And this happened to me. And while we were doing this breath workshop, we were talking about like self-limiting beliefs and other things that will hold you back in your own thought process. And we worked through those. Mine was a very common one, like I'm not worthy of this, or I'm not worthy of success, or I don't work hard enough to get this. And we breathe through that and work through it. And afterwards, we all partook in a cacao ceremony where, after talking about everybody's experience and what they felt and saw through the workshop with the breath work, we all decorated the main, it was called the Terror Garden. It was this building, the spiritual building, part of the commune. Where mostly like massage and other relaxing things happen, but we got to decorate the whole interior. The females were in charge of decorating, and they had the males go out into the garden and pick up rocks, sticks, feathers, whatever you could find, so they could naturally decorate the interior of the room. And the teachers prepared the cacao, and they just put some cacao powder into some boiling water. They added a little bit of honey, a little bit of cayenne pepper, and then they served it to everybody. They used an actual recipe from the Mayans. They said they gave this certain recipe to their hunters and their warriors before they would go out on a hunt or like to war. Because when you drink this, it's so potent in cacao, they put so much in it, that you don't have to eat. You feel full, you feel full of energy. And after I experienced this, I didn't eat for 2 days.
Wow.
So they did this so, like, their hunters didn't have to carry any extra rations or food, or same thing with their warriors. They could just worry about what they had with them, their weapons, their bow and arrow, or their spear, whatever they were using. And they didn't have to carry any extra food with them, any other preparations.
Wow, that is a true preparation. Ready, Freddy.
Yeah.
Wow. So that, like, must have been changing, right?
Yeah, it really hit me. And a lot of other stuff there at their commune, really, it was profound. So when I saw this, like, good change happening within myself and, like, all the people around me, and I was like, I got to work more with this plan. I got to work more with this cacao plan. If I can help people better themselves through it and make, like, a healthy version of it, then I want to do that for people.
Wow, you and Gwen have a lot in common. Gwen works with essential oils and flower essences. And Gwen, your story is somewhat similar. You had an initiation and you were called by the plants, yes?
Yeah, by spirit completely. But, you know, with me, it was gradually, it was following my fascination, which sounds like that's what Kurt has been doing too. And I'm just catching up here, and I'm reading where, Kurt, you use all these wonderful foods in your chocolate, like the chia seeds. Can you talk a little bit about that, how you create with chia seeds? Because I put them into some of my you know, blends for the mixer and drink them down. But they're strange to learn how to work with, but I'm wondering how they work with chocolate. That and spirulina, oh, wow. Love to know more. I'd love to know more about that. You're doing it all by hand, yeah?
Yeah, I make every chocolate by hand. I have my home kitchen licensed, so I make everything out of my home kitchen.
Wow, okay.
I'll use superfood ingredients like chia seeds, flax seeds, spirulina, maca powder, macuna powder, which is one that I found indigenous to, like, the tropic area in Costa Rica. Almonds can be a superfood. Honey is a superfood.
Yeah.
It traps the local pollen around your area, so it'll help fight seasonal allergies. The chia seeds and the spirulina I use specifically. I have one chocolate called the cherry bomb.
Uh-huh.
And the cherry bomb has a real black cherry at the center of it. And I surround it with a mixture of other superfoods that encase it. And then once it's encased, I dip the whole thing in chocolate. But some of the superfoods, like all the other ones I listed, actually there's everything that I listed in the cherry bomb. The flaxseed, chia seed, almonds, I use almond butter. There's the spirulina, macuna, and the maca. The chia seeds are really good for you because you can add them to water and they'll get that gelatinous membrane around them.
Right.
And supposedly that helps clean out, like, your insides a little bit, and it adds a lot of fiber to your diet. So that's good for your digestive system. There's also, like, the spirulina. Spirulina.
I just have to say, the cherry bomb is amazing. I mean, they're all amazing, but the cherry bomb, Godiva has nothing on you, really.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm actually online. I'm looking at the Undiscovered Kitchen, and I'm thinking this is where you go to buy your products, right?
Yeah, the Undiscovered Kitchen is my online shop.
Okay.
The Undiscovered Kitchen website is actually a friend of mine. She started up a website so, like, small people with residential kitchens such as myself could share their products with the rest of the world. And it's been working pretty well, actually. I'm really thankful for her help with that.
That's wonderful. I'm looking at 7 different varieties of handmade chocolates here. Is that's it? No, one is a 4-pack. So it's 6 different varieties here?
Yep. My lineup of chocolates consists of 6 different ones, the Cherry Bomb being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Should I list them all off?
Sure.
You guys want to hear them?
I'd love to know. I'm particularly looking at your Dark Ascension.
Oh, is it a good one?
Yeah, the Dark Ascension is a good one. That one's probably the most healthy chocolate-wise for you, because it's mostly dark chocolate, and like the cacao and the cocoa comes from the cacao bean,
mm-hmm.
and after it's like winnowed and roasted, I actually just take the raw cacao nibs and I throw them right in there. So like I'll melt chocolate around the cacao nibs.
Mmm, that's what gives that slightly crunchy texture.
Yep.
Nice. Actually, that one, you know, you see they're small, but they really pack a punch. That one I ate in 3 different sittings because like I could feel it like. I was focused. I could do all kinds of things, but, you know, not like coffee where you feel like you're, you know, flying. They were really great. And it was actually, I ate it on a day where I was doing a lot of meditation work. So it was very helpful with it.
Hmm. That's wonderful.
It's strange because for the last several years, actually, about the last 4 years, I've wanted chocolate, and I'm really picky about the chocolate. It's something I'm not going to give up if I'm, you know, giving up many other forms of food. In other words, the chocolate seems to be something that is necessary for my diet.
The grounding, yeah, I'm sure.
Well,
yeah, it's been a really important part of, like, the Aztecs and the Mayans. They actually used to trade it as currency.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was not only like their livelihood and their crops, but it was also their money.
Nice, that's smart.
It's sort of like the northeastern tribes used to use salt the same way.
Oh, they did that? I didn't know that.
Up there at the top of the country, not Alaska, but the top of the country, I had quite an experience driving through. The salt flats and going out walking onto them. And I come to find, my experience there told me that this was a currency that was used, especially by holy men who knew where to find it. And I come to find out in reading that this was true, that certain tribes would have salt. Would have stores of salt for trade and for negotiation. It was also part of how to parlay, too. You follow what I mean?
Yeah. I miss the bartering system.
I do barter, though. I know I do barter with my products, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll do that at shows. Like, I met this gentleman, I forget his name, but he was a local brewer, and I traded him some of his homemade stouts for, I think, like half a dozen of some chocolates.
Nice.
That's nice. Have you seen that? I was caught, captured about, 6 months ago. I saw on Facebook this video. And I can't remember which country it came for. It was South America, but how the indigenous people who actually were harvesting the cacao and sending it off to be processed had never tasted chocolate bars or what the finished product was to the majority of their harvest.
Wow.
And it was a video of chocolate bars going back to these fellas and them sitting down and reacting to what was made with their labor.
Wow.
It was incredible. On first glance, it was heart-rending because, you know, they're going, whoa. And on the other side, it was very eye-opening about how in trade and in working with people, we come to a better understanding by trading each other's, you know, knowledge and gifts that way.
Yeah, I think I saw that video, actually. And while I was down there, too, yeah, they eat the beans, like, straight out of the shell. Sometimes they even eat the beans with the shell still on.
Wow, that's hardcore. Wow. So, yeah, so tell us about the crescent moon.
Oh, the crescent moon is, it's like a superfood-infused version of, or my version of a macaroon. It's got cashews, coconut, vanilla, and honey, and I power it up with some macuna powder in there.
Whoa.
Yeah. They are tasty. Uh-huh. And then you have the banana boat. What's it called?
Banana rock.
Banana rock.
So that was the first one I actually made and came up with, because that was... it was, I was making the banana bread ice cream sandwiches. It was inspired from that, so I wanted to make, like, a banana chocolate.
Nice. That's like the first person that put the peanut butter with the chocolate, right? Nice.
Yeah, that one has banana chips in it, so they're, like, dried out banana chips with honey, sweetened, I got regular cacao nibs in there as well. It also has cashews. It also has macuna powder and coconut as well. And then all of that's processed, molded together, and dipped in chocolate.
Nice. And then the last one, which one did we not talk about?
We didn't talk about the almond mint.
I never tried that one.
And we didn't talk about the peanut butter cup.
Oh.
So the almond mint, that looks to me like, God, what do you call those little balls that they make with spirulina and almonds? Do you know them?
I'm sure I've seen them, but I don't recall a name for them.
I love those things. They're made with honey, almond, spirulina, and a few other things. I mean, that's what drew me to the spirulina with your in your ingredients list. I can't imagine it with chocolate. Oh my.
Yeah, I put the spirulina in the cherry bomb and the almond mint. It helps with the almond mint because it kind of makes the insides a little green. So it looks a little more appealing too. But the spirulina is awesome. It has like 65% protein and amino acids. And it's just got those omega-3s in them too. I make it with peppermint too, straight out of the garden.
Oh, wow.
Yep. I mean, when I have it growing in the back of the garden. It's not ready yet.
Now, are you selling to any retail outlets where people might be finding this anywhere? Have you begun that yet?
Yep, I'm carried in four stores. Three stores right now, but four stores at the beginning of May. Should I list them off for you guys?
Sure. I want people to know where to find you.
Okay. I'm located locally in the Litchfield area at New Hampshire's Finest Marketplace. That's right by Alvern. It's right after it. There's another store that carries my chocolates called Windsoul Studios, and that's actually a yoga studio. And that's in Tingsboro, right by the AMC movie theater, right where Trader Joe's used to be. And the third place I'm carried is Lull Farm in Hollis. And the fourth one is my new store that's going to be carrying me, called The Farmer's Wife.
Nice name.
And that's, yeah, I like that one. And they're located in Candia, New Hampshire.
So you're supplying locally.
Yep.
Have you thought about submitting your product to Whole Foods or any other of the larger markets, or is that too much of an expansion at the moment?
Well, this chocolate gig of mine is sort of like a side job right now. Since I've been doing it, I've wanted it to be like my main source of income and everything. I want to share with everybody, but to do that, I have to sell a lot of quantity, and I have to also produce a large quantity.
Yeah.
And out of my residential kitchen, I don't really have the power to do that yet.
Ah.
So the local ones have been helping me along pretty well. I have thought about Whole Foods, and two people actually approached me and gave me some names of, they call them foragers at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they go out and they look for local foods that they might want to, you know, sell at their stores. And I've been talking to one person from the Nashua Whole Foods. So that's sort of, I'm still in talks there, so I'll see where that goes.
Wow, it's so exciting. It's just so great to see people following their passion, and you know, especially when you're creating things that are going to be ingested, or like in Gwen's sense, you know, it's going to be a scent around you. The vibration of the person makes such a difference in the product. And, you know, when you love it, you can taste it. So I can understand how you'd want to keep it so that you can, you know, both of you are kind of in the same boat. I mean, you're both like production powerhouses. So,
well, it's right now, I think, is a burgeoning time for any kind of new creation that awakens and works with the senses. And taste is the first sense, I think, that we experience in the womb. Taste awakens scent, and the rest follow suit. So this is the primary in the red category, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's great to have you know, chocolate that doesn't make you feel crappy afterwards. You know, like if I eat too much sugar or too much of like a overly processed chocolate, like I can't eat the regular chocolates on the store anymore, right? Like Snickers and things, because they really bother my stomach. I mean, you know, the more expensive, like the Lindt's are okay, but, you know, it's not the same satisfaction, really, from one that you know it's really good for you and you can taste how good it is. You know, it's fulfilling your chocolate craving.
Yeah, I you know what I naturally do? I pick up at Publix, which is one of our like a Stop and Shop is up there, or you know, a big supermarket. I pick up the Newman's own chocolate. I trust those guys to be working with what they say they are. And not to have overly processed. Then that'd be a question for you, Kurt. How up are you on other chocolate products?
How far up am I on them?
Well, how much do you know about how they're made and what's in them? Can you pick up a candy bar, take a look at it, and understand right away whether or not it's in integrity? Can we put it that way?
Oh, yeah. I think it's sort of fairly easy to do that once you know the whole chocolate process. Because basically, there are two main parts of chocolate, of all chocolate. There's the bean, and that's where all chocolate comes from. And when you process that bean, you get two things from that bean. You get the cocoa butter, and you get the cocoa powder. And both of those are essential to making any type of chocolate. You need both of them. The butter acts as like the fat that binds and holds all of the powder together. And you can mix just those two and just get like a solid mass of chocolate. And it'll be full with the cocoa fat, which is good in a way because it's plant-based fat. But, you know, it's still a fat. You don't want too much of it. The thing that makes most chocolate bars like sort of bad for you it takes away from more of the nutrient part of the chocolate is they sweeten it with a lot of sugar, and the more cocoa butter you add to it too, so the more fat you add to it, the less of a dark chocolate it becomes. So like a milk chocolate, they'll add dehydrated milk to it, and that's another fat that adds to it and takes away from the nutrients. Like white chocolate basically has just a massive amount of the cocoa butter and not a whole lot of just like the dark cacao powder mixed in with it. So when you go to buy a chocolate bar and you're looking for more of like a healthy alternative, you want to go for the dark chocolate bar because it's less processed. It has more of just the straight cacao bean material in it, and it'll be better for you overall.
That's my natural inclination. I don't like white chocolate at all. Now I understand why. I'm not big on the super sugared out. It just doesn't work with my Italian taste buds.
Yeah, white chocolate used to be my favorite too, and now like I don't actually eat it at all anymore.
Wow, interesting. Yeah.
What are some of the best chocolates out there that you can think of, Kurt? What are you drawn to now that your palate is evolved the way it has?
I mean, I'll still be a little bit bad every now and then, and I'll go out and do a little binge, and I'll buy like a Butterfinger bar or something, or like a Milky Way. But for the most part, I'll just like eat my chocolate at home now, because I just
I can imagine.
It's just, yeah, I just have a bunch of it, like pounds of it, ready to be melted down and formed for whatever I need to do with it. So.
Wow.
I'll just break off a chunk from my own stash.
Yeah.
Nice. That's so good.
I understand that. Are you working on new formulas all the time? Is that something that fascinates you, is creating new ones?
Oh, that's the funnest part, coming up with a new chocolate.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to come up with a new one pretty recently. I haven't added it to the main lineup of the other chocolates, but it was walnuts, cashews, coconut, mango, and like some superfoods like macuna and maca powder. But I wanted like a chocolatey mango flavored type of chocolate that you could eat, give it a little tropical spin, pay a little homage to like my trip to Costa Rica.
Now, do you dry out your own mango, and do you do all the processing by hand, or do you have supplies where you can go and you're assured of the integrity of them and you use them?
Some of them I make by hand, like the mint is sometimes homegrown when I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
The honey I'll try and source locally. There's a place in Hudson called Be Rich, and you can just like go up to I forgot his name too, but you can walk up to this fellow's garage and just pay him outright for some honey that he's made right in his own backyard.
Nice.
As far as the mango goes, I haven't actually dried out my own mango. But I'll go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, and every time I'll go get the organic raw, whatever version of whatever I'm getting. Like the banana chips that I get are all organic. So are the cashews and the almonds. Every part that I can make, you know, more wholesome and better for you, I'll strive for.
Nice. I understand that process very well. I buy my essential oils from many different places, but I'm always it's a long process too. It's been 20 years of buy and test and tell, you know.
Yeah, and everything has a different taste to it too. You're right. So like,
it's quite true. And this is the other question I'd like to ask you on that. Now, essential oils have changed. They slightly change here and there, especially with climate change going on. The soil is not as rich, or the soil is over flooded. There are many things that change the quality and character in scent, and also vitality of essential oils from year to year, especially now. Do you find that happens with your cacao at all?
For the most part, I think each batch has a little bit of its own uniqueness. Because sometimes I'll experiment and use a different banana chip, or sometimes I'll try a new thing, like add a little bit more coconut or add a little bit more of this just to see how they balance out. Taste testing is always the best part, too.
Right, I imagine. I have to ask you, too, have you ever considered working with essential oils with your chocolate making?
You're the second person to ask me that.
Interesting.
I had a friend named Shalon. She's a massage therapist. She gave me some of, I think, the doTERRA vitamin C blend.
Yeah.
Or like the defense blend.
doTERRA is a good oil to work with.
Yeah. And it's got, it's got orange peel and clove and... There's some other stuff in there. I don't remember all of it. I think there's four or five things total in there. But over the winter, she asked me if I could infuse some of my chocolates with some of that oil to, like, give people a little boost for, the flu season and everything. And I still have the bottle, actually. I didn't get around to trying it. But I do want to actually try doing that.
That'll be interesting. It's like infusion of essence of.
Yeah, I was a little apprehensive too because somebody told me that essential oils you're not so, like really supposed to ingest like too much of them.
You have to be very careful. You do have to work out your formulas, and it'll take you a little bit of research. But you can work with them, and you can get some very surprising results. I've seen this in Europe. I was trained in aromatherapy in Europe a long time ago, and they were doing it over there. There's a little shop in Covent Garden near Neil's Yard that would take Neil's Yard oils and create lines of chocolate, and not just chocolates, but other things like nougat and, you know, other candies, and use essential oils, and they're really quite good. But one was all you needed, you know, because the taste was so exquisite in it that you wouldn't overdo it. You know what I mean? Like two, you sell yours in two packs here, yes?
Yep.
Yeah, that's all you need, huh?
Yeah.
And the one of the reasons, too, I asked you about the essential oils because I keep getting... clove, and I don't know why it's like screaming clove at me with your cacao, and I'm wondering about that. That's why I asked.
Okay, yeah. So this is an oil. I think I could actually mix it straight into the dipping chocolate as well.
You could, but you would have to do a lot of hit and miss practice kind of thing.
Yeah, get the ratios right.
Yeah, and clove oil, cloves. Can be upsetting to the stomach, but then again, cacao actually has a lot of good stomatic applications. It's good for your stomach. It's not bad for it. That mm-hmm. much I know about it. Especially in its raw state, in powder. Not the fat, the powder. But that would be exciting to me to see somebody come out with a line of chocolates that was working with essential oils because you have so much you could work with. And yet there's only so much that would be really appealing to the general or buying public, too. That's got to be true.
Yeah, I'm actually really open to new ideas and things like that, too, because... like we said before, making new chocolates is, like, a lot of fun. So, like, if anybody had any, like, custom orders, per se, and they wanted to, put specific ingredients in some, I would be up for that, too.
Wow, that's good to know. That would be exciting. Make your own chocolate. Name your own chocolate.
Yeah.
Cool.
That would be very appealing. I could see where that would be very appealing.
You can make some spirit therapy chocolates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
A signature chocolate for holiday gifting or something.
Yeah.
You've given me an idea, actually.
Yeah, because, you know, there are certain things that are grounding. There are certain ingredients that can help you to open up, you know, pineal glands and awareness or whatever. I mean, it's really like mad scientist at work.
Well, lifting, just generally lifting your spirits. Chocolate has a tendency to lift people's spirits. One of the reasons is because it's a painkiller.
Right.
It is a painkiller.
Yeah, it's a natural mood elevator as well.
It is, and it lifts your spirits already. The other oil that would be a natural, in my opinion, or it comes to my mind, is lavender.
Mm.
Yep, relaxing.
Yeah. Well, and lavender, like I made myself some iced tea a day ago, and I used mugwort and lavender. And it's clean, and it tastes good, it smells nice. And it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Being a sage, it's cleansing, and then with the lavender flowers, it's relaxing and it's uplifting.
Nice. Well, once again, you can find Kurt at thespiritofcacao.com, and the pricings are what, $5, $7 for a 2-pack?
Yep. The 4-pack that's on there consists of my 4 best sellers. There's the Cherry Bomb, the Peanut Butter Cup, the Crescent Moon, and the Banana Rock. And if you buy the 4-pack, it's a little bit cheaper. All the ones on the website include shipping. But if you order directly from me or like my phone number's on the website, you can call me directly, say hello, have a little chat, and I can give them to you for the $5 versus the $7. So save a little bit of money too.
Nice.
Wow.
And you don't necessarily ship yet in the summertime, right? That's an important distinction.
Yeah, summertime it's hard to ship because chocolate melts. but if you call directly to and you're local in the area, I could always meet you and drop off some chocolates. Or, if it's like towards the beginning of this spring season, like now, I think they'd still survive in the mail. But once it gets towards like June and July, yeah, I don't think I'll be able to ship very many places.
Yeah. All right.
Do you know what I found out? I used to make body butters for shipping, but because of that very same fact, I had to quit. Even though people wanted them, they said, I'll just put it in the icebox, it'll be fine. And it is, but the point is that, you know, it's a mess and you shouldn't do it. But when I've had special orders, you can get pouches that are earth-friendly, that they will put a slice that looks like a big crystal of dry ice into it. It's not that expensive, but if people really want your product, that would be an alternative way to ship in those months. Of course, it would cost more.
Yeah, I could offer shipping still in the summer, just like you're saying, the containers to like keep the chocolates insulated, they cost sort of like a significant amount more. The ones I've been looking at were roughly about like 10 inches by 4 inches, and I could fit maybe a dozen and a half in there, maybe 2 dozen.
Yeah.
But the box itself is an additional like $8.
Mm. Well, where there's a will, there's a way. I mean, if they want it.
That's true. Just talk to me if you want it. We'll make it happen.
Right.
it would certainly be something that some folks, a lot of folks probably would be willing to accept once they get a taste of the product.
Exactly. I mean, you're not going to find it anywhere else. So, you know, it is worth it, especially if you have a spare $8 or whatever. I mean, to a lot of people, that's nothing. So that's great. Awesome. Nice. All right. Well, I mean, I think we should do a little bit of a short show so that, you know, we don't exhaust the chocolate. But thank you so much, Kurt. And we'll have you back on and you know, with some new Frankenstein creations, see what you come up with.
Some custom ones. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely think about that spirit therapy one. I mean, when I was thinking about what that might be when you mentioned it, you know, our colors are yellow, green, and purple. And I was thinking, I don't know, for some reason I thought about blueberries with the purple and, you know, something.
Well, just off the top of your head, I think it's always smartest to go to the maker. Off the top of your head, the name of my business is Daughters of Isis, and I create essential oil blends and flower essences that are seen through the lens of culture and spiritual traditions. Off the top of your head, what would a chocolate like that be?
Good question.
It is.
It would definitely be a dark chocolate.
Oh yeah.
As far as like inside though, it might be something close to like the cherry bomb. Maybe not with a cherry in the middle, but it would definitely have all those superfoods around it. Maybe like a chocolate truffle inside.
Ooh.
Maybe something like that.
Nice. But I'll have to send you a couple little oils to play with.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, I plan on sending you guys to your studio a few chocolates as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm about to make a big order and bring some down to my mom. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm actually...
You'll be hearing from me too.
Okay, I'll be waiting.
What were you going to say?
I wanted to mention, I have a show or an event that I'm actually going to be at selling some chocolates. It's actually next weekend.
Nice.
It's a mind, body, spirit spring celebration.
Well, I saw that. Yeah.
And it's at the historic Ashworths at Hampton Beach.
Ooh.
And it's a whole weekend long thing. They're going to have music. They're going to have readers. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff there. So.
Wow.
I imagine you are making chocolate to beat the band for that.
Yep.
The smell of your kitchen must be intoxicating.
Yeah.
Oh, the cocoa butter when I have to melt it down to mix with the chocolate. Yeah, that's just a really good smell.
Wow. Do you see visions of the chocolate gods while you're cooking?
Yes, I do.
Do you? Do they talk to you? I'm sure they do.
They kind of mime out some stuff, but.
Nice. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and yeah, we'll explore again soon. You can find Kurt once again at thespiritofcacao.com.
Thank you both very much as well. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. It was fun. I really enjoyed.
Nice. All right, and tomorrow we have the Sunday show, yes?
Yeah, the Sunday show. A little heads up, the third week of May, the Sunday show will have the Green Candidate, or the one who will become the Green Candidate, Dr. Jill Stein, will be with us. So that will be something to listen to.
That's super cool. Nice. Yeah. And then Monday at 7 p.m., we'll have a Spirit Therapy Radio and picking up, of course, where we have left off and where we are in the week. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Gwen. And love yourself. Love the world. Good night.